EFTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, October 28th, 2024, episode 17. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg DFS, back in the house. Mike Randall, at Randall Rant. Mike, how's your weekend?
It's doing well, Zach, my friend, and it's also doing well because, as we know, you're the go-to one for all advice here at NBA. And I made the mistake in looking at our underdog draft that we did together. Ladies and gentlemen, who's at the top? None other than Kawisenberg with 777 points. You can take that to a slot machine. And ladies and gentlemen, who's in last with 5 million injuries? None other than yourself. So I am here as the punching bag for the great person who is sitting directly to my right, your left.
Oh, man, I have not checked any of those best ball scores yet, but that does warm my heart that I'm sitting there in first in at least one of those.
Zubats, Zach. Zubats just rolling through the center position for you.
Oh, rarely coming out of these games through the first week. We'll talk through the first week here on today's episode of the Fast Break. Another thing that we want to do now that we're in the regular season, call out some games that we're eyeing, that we want to make sure we're in front of our TV screens to watch. This week will, of course, close with some stock up, stock down. Let's start, Mike, like, you know, almost every show does for the last two plus decades. Let's talk about LeBron here, because the Lakers are undefeated, one of the four remaining undefeated teams in the league. And I believe it was Saturday night when we see this insane fourth quarter from LeBron James. And it wasn't even really a quarter. Most of this got done in about a 3.5 minute span. LeBron James becomes the first player in NBA history to record a single quarter with 15 or more points, 5 or more rebounds, 5 or more assists, and to make all of his field goal attempts in that quarter. And Mike, this is the fourth quarter in a game of his 22nd season in the league. That's a solid game for a lot of players, much less a quarter, much less, again, about the 4 minute span that LeBron did that in. The King continues to impress, continues to write new chapters in his lore. I was actually lucky enough on a Saturday night to this, you know, says a lot about me. On a Saturday night, I'm sitting there watching Kings Lakers. It was really special to watch, really fun. And you know, this hurts my heart because I hate the Lakers.
Yeah, it was special to watch. And he just continues, you know, one of the greatest players ever. But what is so underrated about him is he morphs to what his team needs. And he really has the most brilliant basketball mind overall and feel for the game that I've seen since Magic Johnson. You know, I saw Magic when he was with Kareem. Then I saw Magic when he wasn't with Kareem and how he led that team as a veteran player to the finals. That is what you're seeing from LeBron. He lets the game come to him, meaning he lets everyone else get hot early. And it was a brilliant performance, taking the game over in every possible aspect. He knows where the players on his team need the ball. So he will dribble and drive and attack a certain side or wing or an angle to get and set up the pass after the pass. It's great to watch. He's off to a great start. I mean, legend. That's all there is to it.
And I think we've seen early on here, again, this is really what, I don't know what you call it, small sample size theater, maybe, is something I've heard somebody say here, right? We're only 6 days into the season, but undefeated Lakers, JJ Redick has this team kind of firing on all cylinders. And to your point about LeBron and him being kind of malleable to the pieces that are around him, it does seem like JJ has come in here. Coach Redick said, okay, now LeBron, your coin, again, for lack of a better comparison here, now Anthony Davis is going to be Batman and you're going to be Robin. You're both still superheroes, but we're playing through Anthony Davis when he's out there on the court. And you saw that in the latter parts of that fourth quarter where, okay, LeBron carried the team, got them that lead on that amazing run. Then he's running pick and roll actions, feeding Anthony Davis on the roll, feeding Anthony Davis on the pop. The Kings had no answer for it. And again, man, like if the Lakers keep this up, they're going to far exceed my expectations. If you recall, it wasn't too long ago, maybe 10 days ago, I was saying, my hot take for the Pacific Division was the Lakers don't make the playoffs. Now they're sitting at 3-0. It's a heck of a start for them.
Yeah, I'm not a JJ fan. He's still in the honeymoon period. I give him credit for sitting with LeBron because LeBron is really the coach of the team. Sure. And they have come up with a plan, devised a plan, and it's working right now. there's going to be some strife this year. There's going to be an injury. There's going to be a point which JJ is going to have to sort of do it and make some tough decisions. And that's what I'm waiting for as an NBA bettor. But for right now, it's kumbaya. They're working well together. You have to have your big star working with you. And clearly LeBron has signed off on making AD the center, on the role in which Dalton Knecht is playing coming off the bench. Austin Reeves has started off a lot hotter. Rui Hachimura is sort of imposing as well. We'll get to that a little bit later. So, yes, I agree. We're off to a good start. One eye open, caveat emptor for me. But, yes, I can't deny it's been a fabulous start for the Los Angeles Lakers.
I think that's one thing to watch, right? A lot of those guys playing massive minutes. So can we keep that up? Or are we going to see an adjustment where a Dalton Knecht, a Gabe Vincent, they get Jared Vanderbilt back healthy, hopefully soon, right? Can they expand this rotation a little bit as we get into the meat of the regular season? Something we'll keep our eye on. Shifting to the Eastern Conference now, Sunday. To me, the biggest eye-popping result, Brooklyn Nets, right? A win total prior to the season, sub 20. They defeat the Bucks, and not just in upset fashion, handily, right? This is a team that, and I wanted to point this out here because this did give me a little bit of a chuckle. I know it was making the rounds on social media. So, like, before we talk about the Bucks, and is this just like same old Bucks where they're going to kind of disappoint us and let us down in some of these type of spots? Ben Simmons on the Nets side, still allergic to shooting layups here, Mike. They're up 17, 4 minutes to go. Simmons gets the steal, but then he creates a two-on-one situation and passes up not one but two layup attempts, refusing to shoot there in the paint in a two-on-one situation. That was such a blow to any sort of confidence that I had as somebody watching Ben Simmons and hoping that he can rejuvenate his career. If you're doing that up 17 in the late stages of a game, it was just a hit to my confidence about any sort of resurgence for Ben Simmons. Again, just to being a competent player that can secure a contract after this season, I really don't know if he's going to be able to.
No, he's not. Ben Simmons is one of these players, like in the NFL with Josh Gordon. It's one of these players which just is so talented, looks so good. You want to believe, you want to buy in. I remember back when he was at LSU and he refused to play in the NCAA tournament. Like, I have never been a Ben Simmons fan. Yes, a lot of talent. Obviously, some off-the-court issues, which, of course, are separate, and we hope those continue to improve. But I just do not trust him as a consistent asset. But to your point, I made one bet in the FTN Fantasy Basketball Discord, because I was filled with NFL stuff. Mm-hmm. One bet I put in there, you can look at it, take it to the bank, the Nets +8.5 at home against the Bucks. I don't know why I didn't take money line, Zach. I'm mad at myself.
There you go.
I know this team. They are struggling on defense. Doc hasn't figured it out. No Chris Middleton, who they really need to be part of this. Gary Trent, enough. He is limited in what he can do. He is not a replacement anyway for Middleton on offense or defense. Tayshaun Prince has done nothing. All they have off the bench is Porter. Very frustrated here, but this one was predictable. And Zach, at this point, we have to embrace when we know something. And I know this Bucks team, and that one was an easy one. I am upset I didn't take the money line, but start to finish on the road, the Bucks are just not at that level. Maybe when Chris Middleton comes back, maybe they can get better, but the defense, 115 to the Nets. Oh,
yeah, and that's the thing too, right? We talked about Middleton so much on the fast break in the preseason. He's got to get back sooner rather than later. Again, if they're going to stick with the top of the Eastern Conference, where we see a couple teams improving along the way, like we talked about Orlando, right? They've looked great, even though they did get run off the court by the Grizzlies the other night. Detroit has looked pretty feisty early on, even though they haven't necessarily gotten the results. So you cannot be dropping games like this to the Nets. A great call by you. Again, they need Middleton back in the worst way, and probably a trade or two along the fringes, in the margins there, by February's deadline to really be a true contender in the East, especially with how good Boston looks, even without Kristaps Porzingis. And you brought up Flash Gordon there. I think if he signed even on a team's practice squad, I'd at least sit there and think,
yes,
well, maybe this time.
They did it with him. They did with Martavius Bryant. People did it last night with Dalvin Cook, who said there are players who we just indeed, and I get it. Ben Simmons is a talented guy, but to me, he's proved everything that we know at this point. Maybe a valuable piece with an actual team, an NBA, but I don't want any part of him on DFS for sure. I mean, I can't. And there'll be a day where he has 20 and 10, 10. I know it's coming. I won't be on it.
Look, Twitter has changed a lot in the last year plus, but one thing that hasn't changed is that NBA Twitter remains undefeated. The Dwayne Wade statue was unveiled yesterday, and man, did we go wild on social media for this, because look, Mike, You've seen it. I think anybody listening to this podcast has seen it. If you haven't, just go search Dwayne Wade statue. It is ridiculous. What in the world is going on here? That is not Dwayne Wade on the statue. I know sculptures can look a little bit off from time to time, but it looks nothing like Wade at any point in his career, in his life. He even said, and it wasn't like just reading this on paper, he wasn't being as critical as this comes off, but I think it's a window into his thoughts when he saw this unveiled. He goes, all right, that's crazy. I can't believe it. And then he goes, who is that guy? Right? So he's like kind of half joking, but also I can't imagine he looked at that and was really satisfied with the way they portrayed him and his face on that statue.
Zach worked for 25 years in the Creskill School District. Okay. And we had coaches, legendary coaches, basketball coach, track coach, football coach, across the board. I want to explain to you how this goes, because I was in charge, because when they retired, of course, the question becomes, what are we going to do? And we ended up having to do three bronze plaques of their face, the raised. So I've been through this.
Yeah,
I cannot tell you how much of a failure this is. It's very simple. You take a, if I'm going to get a bronze plaque of your face, I'm going to bring your face there. They give you a sample, written, a drawing sample of what it looks like. You have to sign off on it. Now, what do you do, Zach? You bring it to like five or six people and you all talk. And some person says, fix another guy. Okay. You come back. Then they give you a sample, an actual small sample of what it looks like. And you bring it around again. I would say, Zach, it took about 3 months for a bronze plaque of a track coach, basketball coach in Little North New Jersey here. The idea that the Miami Heat put this out there and couldn't get his face. It's mystifying to me. You could have grabbed five people off the street and just said, does this look like him? So it's an epic fail, Zach. It's not like you just hand them one picture and you cross your fingers to see what the statue looks like. There's a process and you go through it multiple times. Yeah. So I don't know how this happened. And I have, you know, again, very small potatoes compared to this. But Zach, it took me about 3 months. I went back and forth, the nose, the ears, the whole thing. And I can assure you, no one complained about it. It looks kind of like the people. This is crazy.
Yeah, I want to know if they're, because like, again, like you said, like people saw this before they unveiled it. People in the Miami Heat franchise, like, I wonder if there was behind the scenes, like, Dwayne, like, this is not going to look great. Like, was there conversations before the unveiling? I don't know. But the sculptors have a press conference after, like they just came off of a game seven, which was hilarious to me. I didn't listen to what they said, but I just thought the whole situation was ridiculous. I feel for Wade, and I imagine that they're going to get a little bit of a redo, a second draft that will be unveiled here at some point.
Zach, everything looks fine. The body, the pose, the fingers, except for the face. Yeah. Everything looks fine, but the face is the thing.
Yeah,
that's the most important one. But all I can tell you is I don't know how that's so bad, because I went through it three times. It's not hard. You just keep tweaking it until it's ready. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where you saw, right? It's only the face, because you see people taking the face of the statue, putting it on the iconic LeBron alley-oop photo with Wade, on a wedding photo with Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade, like just the face everywhere. It's a great night of content for those surfing the interwebs. A little bit more of a serious note here. We talked about kind of the scandal around the NBA investigating the player participation around Joel Embiid. Well, here's a serious legal scandal brewing there for the LA Clippers. Former Clippers trainer Randy Shelton is suing the franchise for wrongful termination, among other things. Shelton claims that he was fired after complaining that Kawhi Leonard was being subjected to unsafe and illegal treatment for his injuries. Now, Shelton, Mike, was San Diego State's strength coach when Kawhi was there with the Aztecs. He was Kawhi's offseason trainer when he was with the Spurs, hired by the Clippers the same summer that Kawhi was signed. Sounds like he was one of Kawhi's guys. And I don't know, man, I'm a Spurs fan, so I have heard this story before. But if you go into the details of this, it is not just around Kawhi, but like some of the tampering they had, which again was public knowledge, but just resurfacing here, rereading through all the stuff that they did, attending the Raptors games, contacting Shelton while Kawhi was still with the Spurs to gauge his interest in coming to play for the Clippers. I don't know, man. One thing, I saw somebody comment this, I think, on Twitter, and I agree with it. I think the Raptors have to be feeling like they dodged a bullet, trading for Kawhi, getting the championship, and then him walking, because they really didn't have to. They only got the best of Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, and now the Clippers dealing with, you know, kind of the negative side of him and his knees.
The hardest thing to deal with in all of sports is a great player on the decline of their career. I saw it here with Derek Jeter when he was pushed down the lineup late in his career. You saw it with Guerrero, with Tom Brady, when he had that like, you don't, these guys become, they're fantastic. They're great players and they want everything to be their way. And someone has to tell them no. Best example right now, Zach, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Jets are a train wreck, but he's got his guys and everything has to be his way. Completely agree with you with Toronto. They dodged a bullet. Got the title, got the shot, over Embiid, title, see you later. It's not Kawhi's great. He's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats. But the everything that comes with them becomes too much eventually because you have to follow them. And none of these guys, Rodgers, Kawhi, anyone, Kobe, LeBron, all these guys have to have things their way. So either you're going to succumb and just go with them, or you're going to end up having to cut them loose early. And I think more teams today go with the latter than the former because they franchises do all have to work together. And sometimes you have one great player and you can do it that way. But even Michael rubbed people the wrong way in Chicago eventually, not just Jerry Krause. You saw the whole thing. There's a shelf life, and sometimes it's better to cash your chips in a year early than a year late.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch that saga unfold, I guess, in the legal system, right? Because this is some serious stuff being alleged. Let's, again, turn it back to a lighter note here. Four undefeated teams left in the NBA. We mentioned the Lakers. Alongside them, the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Thunder. I am a little bit surprised by the Lakers. The other three, I think it's just kind of what we expected, right? Especially with Boston and OKC, the defending one seeds in each conference. This seems like kind of status quo for this group of teams.
Yeah, it does. It's just a tremendous performance here. Boston, Cleveland, Lakers, OKC. OKC, Zach, most impressive win to me so far. They crushed Denver on opening night there. Just a really impressive performance. And the winless teams, of course, as well. It's been pretty decisive so far. And Boston, not surprised. Cleveland, I'm kind of rooting for because I do root for the little guy. I'm glad to see that. Want to see what happens here, like I said, with the Lakers. And OKC is exactly what we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, the winless teams, right? Three of the five, I think. No surprise at all, right? Wizards, Pistons, Jazz. That makes some sense, all three of those teams. Mm-hmm. You would think going to be tanking, at least by the end of the season. Definitely not in the top half of either conference. But then Kings and Nuggets. Again, Nuggets have played two games, but they did not look good against OKC. They lose on Sunday to the Clippers. They get the Raptors tonight. I think they right the ship here on Monday. But Kings and Nuggets, to me, definitely stand out as a team without a win here through the first week.
Yeah, I'm going to hang in with the Kings. I am a little nervous about it because I'm starting to think maybe I overvalued them. Mm-hmm. But with Fox and DeRozan and Sabonis, I do think they figure it out eventually. But I'm a little concerned, not concerned about Denver at all, of course, except for the depth issues if somebody doesn't get going. But we'll share that for a little bit later. Yes.
I agree on both of those. I think both of them will be just fine. But certainly not the start that them or their fans wanted. Let's talk about the week that is ahead, right? And we'll be back here on Thursday. So we'll just look at the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night slates. Here on Monday, Mike, I've got three games picked out. You got the two national games. I think they're NBA TV tonight. Milwaukee and Boston. Milwaukee back into the back-to-back, coming off the embarrassing loss to Brooklyn. Boston, a buzzsaw so far, right? I think this is a game that everybody's going to have their eyes on. Lakers and Phoenix is the nightcap there on NBA TV. A rematch. These teams already played earlier this season, so the Lakers got one over on the Suns early. We know about the Suns offensively. We know about the new-look Lakers. I think I'm more excited for Lakers and Phoenix than I am the Bucks and Celtics, interestingly enough. How do you feel about those two nationally televised games here tonight?
Yeah, I think it's Celtics by 20. I don't have any confidence in the Bucks at all.
Yeah,
I'm looking at our model here. No edge either way in that game. I agree with you that I want to see what the Lakers do here. We have an edge to the over for Lakers Suns over 228. Curious to see. My instinct says take the 4.5 points with the Lakers. That's my response because it still is Phoenix. It still is KD, you know, those things. But I want to see how it plays out, and I'm more curious because that's a big win for the Lakers. They get that one. You know, now all of a sudden they really have some solid momentum, but I will be shocked tonight. Maybe the Bucks come out and they hit a couple shots early and get going, but the Celtics eventually will move forward in that game. And that spread right now, like I said, no advantage either way, but it's 9.5. I think Celtics win by double digits.
Yeah, I think the Celtics will take that one as well. At home, the way they've been playing, the way the Bucks haven't been executing here in the first week. And I also wanted to mention again, I know biased Spurs fan, but I think even for a third party with no dog in this fight, Rockets at Spurs tonight. These teams played two nights ago. Jeremy Sohan saying F Houston in the pregame comments. They go out. Spurs get a 20-plus point lead. Rockets make some adjustments. Coach Ime Udoka, Şengün out of there. Put Dylan Brooks on Victor Wembanyama. They climb back in the game. Fantastic performance by Jalen Green. San Antonio ekes out the victory at the end of that one. So this is the second time they have met in the first week. They will play again next week. Also a scrum between Dylan Brooks and Victor Wembanyama that included Chris Paul smacking Dylan Brooks in the back of the head. Looks like he got away with that one. No fine has come in quite yet, but there is some bad blood brewing here. It started with Sohan, who had one of his best games that I've ever seen him play against the Rockets last time out. So running it back here on Monday night, kind of in between the two national games. If Boston-Milwaukee gets out of hand, flip on your league pass, tune into Spurs-Rockets. I think there's going to be some fireworks in this one tonight.
A separate note on a game not even close to that level. I mean, if the Kings are what I think they are, shouldn't they destroy the Trailblazers tonight at home? I mean, Zach, like first quarter, second quarter, halftime, third quarter, like this should be a blowout. So I'm going to be on that one. And if Portland gets out early, I'm still going to be on Sacramento. I'm going to stick to my priors, the teams I believe in here. Sacramento can't keep playing with their food here. Let's blow out the Trailblazers. I think at home that happens. Look for a quick start. I think probably get that line at 2.5 first quarter. I think they can handle that.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's way too early, in my opinion, to be right. You can take in the information we've got and make some slight tweaks, but we're not jumping off teams we thought were going to, you know, beat expectations, teams that we thought would come in under expectations. We're 6 days into the season. Tuesday night, only 4 games. To me, Mike, Dallas at Minnesota, rematch of the Western Conference Finals, the clear game on Tuesday night to have your TV sets tuned into.
Yeah, a couple things I want to see there. Klay Thompson really got off to a hot start, and I was lower on Klay Thompson. I mean, we may both have been when we started. I know Chris Meany's all excited in our private Slack. But our FTN model really made me think on opening night, very high in Klay Thompson, and he delivered across the board. So I want to see here how the Mavs respond in this spot and how they do. Curious to see how that goes, but an exciting time because – Doncic, you see the pass where he went to the basket. I think he leaned into Wemby, threw it over his head to PJ Washington, which, by the way, Zach, there is no more higher regular season pressure than when Doncic throws that pass. You've got to make that shot, okay? Because you're blowing a highlight, but just incredible stuff by Doncic. I'm curious. See, and of course, my guy PJ Washington, let's get him going a little bit. So that's an interesting one, yeah.
Speaking of passes like that, again, I'm dragging a lot of Spurs talk in here, but Wembanyama made like a 25-foot behind the back on the money to Champagne in the corner the other night. He bricked it. You got to hit that one, Julian. Everybody would have seen it.
And Champagne had a great – he was popping in the DFS optimizer. He was. I think you were even on him. I'm like, Zach's on Champagne. You got to hit that one. That would have been worth extra bonus 5 in DFS. You got to make that one.
Yeah, he did great for us on last Wednesday's slate. Then this Wednesday, right, bigger slate. This might be a rock fight from like an implied total standpoint, but I am very interested to watch the Knicks go down to South Beach and take on the Heat. Again, two coaches that I have a lot of respect for, two teams that are just filled up and down the rotation with dogs, Knicks and Heat on Wednesday. And then we're going back to San Antonio here, but whenever Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren meet on the court, it has been to this point appointment must watch television. So I will be, of course, watching Spurs and Thunder. Probably a quad box night for me on Wednesday, but Knicks Heat, Spurs Thunder, those are my two to watch on Wednesday.
Yeah, I was excited to see our Orlando Magic destroy the Heat on opening night. I'm a little apprehensive about Miami. I mean, Jimmy Butler had a good bounce back game there against Charlotte. but I'm a little concerned in that one. I'm leaning Knicks early on in that matchup. I, you know, they take a while to get going, and they've never been a great regular season team recently. When they made their run, they were an 8 seed, right? Like, you know, I'm so a little cool on the Heat. I think there's some betting value there, but a great game either way. And yeah, Wemby. I mean, Wemby is appointment TV. You have to say that always. Yes.
So those are some games we'll be watching. Let's close out episode 17 with our stock up, stock down. We'll start with our stock downs. And I want to start here, Mike, talking about Rui Hachimura. Stock down for Rui. I think he's actually been pretty good from a basketball standpoint. But there's one play that stuck out to me, and this clip was also making the rounds Saturday night, because this is during LeBron's massive fourth quarter run. Right before a timeout, Rui Hachimura on a fast break. Dribble pull-up mid-range, right? And they go back to the bench. They go to timeout. And on League Pass, right, they kind of send you back to that in-arena camera, right? Sometimes you can pick up things that are being said on the bench. Well, you can hear LeBron James say, and I'll just – this is what he said. Bring that motherfucker to me. I done made 10 in a row. He wants to do a pull-up contested too. Swing, swing, motherfucker. And look, man, he's right.
Yeah. He's totally right. Rui – role player. Dalton Connects, a role player. Austin Reeves is a role player. He's running the show, and he's going to be right almost every time. Swing the darn ball. Totally right. Love hearing it, because he's right. No doubt about it.
All right, what's your stock down here, Mike?
Oh, disappointed with Russ. Russ is a guy to root for. I like him. He's been fantastic, but he can't win a title if he's the main guy, and I just keep thinking about 3-1, then game 6 Clay back when they were on OKC with Harden. But not the start, Zach, I thought, with good old Russ. 2 games, 20 minutes, that's 4 points, 2.5 rebounds, 3 rebounds rather, 3.5 assists, and the good old 3.5 assist to turnover ratio. I need more out of him. I need more production from Russ. Denver needs it. He has to be a leader with the second team, with Julian Strother and those type of guys. So hasn't delivered the way I thought. Sort of the reason, one of the many reasons, my best ball team is getting killed by you. But I like Russ. I'm rooting for him. This is a stock down that I hope becomes a stock up. But Russ, you can give us a little bit more than you give us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm interested to see, again, Nikola Jokic is a guy that makes everybody around him better, and that's been that way pretty much throughout his career. Maybe it takes a little bit more time to figure out that chemistry with a guy like Russell Westbrook finding his niche there in Denver. Let's close it out here. Stock ups for me. I mentioned it earlier, but for me, it's Chris Paul. I hope we leave the below the belt punches in the past, but some of this stuff, right, that annoys you when you're playing against him, but you love to have him on your team. Just standing up for Victor Wembanyama the other night, smacking Dylan Brooks in the head. And Alex Blickle told me this earlier this morning. I laughed, and I think I agree. If Chris Paul is going to bring his below-the-belt antics to San Antonio, make sure it's against Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, I totally agree. Chris Paul, he's a leader, and his winning ways are rubbing off on that team. And he's gotten a bad rap, I think, because when he's around a bunch of veterans, he ends up eventually frustrating them, and you have all those videos of him yelling at Harden when he's in Houston, all that stuff. Yeah. But I'm a Chris Paul guy, and you called as one of your favorite picks in best ball. Love it. No below the belt, but we love Chris Paul.
All right, what's your stock up here to close out episode 17?
Look, Jason Tatum is the best player in the Celtics. I don't want to hear about Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown had a nice playoff. That's fantastic. Jason Tatum is at a different level, and people say he doesn't deliver consistently in the clutch. Well, let me tell you, when he's locked in the clutch, there's almost no one better, because he's an absolute fire. You saw that last year. I think it was against the Sixers in one of those away games, because we were out having a drink, and he just took over. The Jason Tatum revenge tour from getting benched. Him and Halliburton, who couldn't even score the other night against the Knicks. Jason Tatum, 33 points, 6.5 boards, 6 assists, 1.3 steals, enough. Jason Tatum is coming. He's angry. We don't want to give him motivation. He's looking to score. He's getting on fire to start. He hasn't had the clunker game yet. Very impressed. Love to see the narrative. And it is must-watch TV when he plays Golden State, because he's going to hang a number on them. He is ticked about that, and he should have been one of the best players in the NBA. For some reason, people don't like him. I don't know what it is. Maybe because he goes to the jump shot too much and doesn't attack the basket enough. I don't know, but I love Jason Tatum, and he is off to a great start, trying to repeat here with the Celtics. Jaylen Brown is great, but he is Robin. Tatum is Batman.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And that'll do it for episode 17 of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. Anything else for you, Mike, before we shut it down?
No, just can't wait. Got great games, great matchups. NBA's rolling here. Sports Equinox today, Zach. What's there not to like?
Yeah, we love it. We love it. It's a great time to be a sports fan. Great time to be here at FTN Fantasy. If you haven't subscribed yet, come join us. You'll catch us back here on Thursday for another episode of The Fast Break. You can catch The Daily Dime on our YouTube channel every morning, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern time, myself and or Alex Blickle, sometimes in there together. Great stream earlier today. And of course, catch all the other content I've seen. I'm being tagged on Twitter in some of our college basketball preview content that's coming out. College hoops season. Make sure you're tuned in to everything we got going on here at FTN Fantasy. Enjoy the beginning of your week, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here on Thursday for another episode of the FTN Fast Break. Till then, he's Mike. I'm Zach. Goodbye.